This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Trick Talks. My name is Barbara Lally, and today I am going to read from my book, The Trickster Diaries. Busy Feed. When I was first participating in the trichotillomania study at the university, I worked closely with a therapist who wanted to focus on using cognitive behavioral therapy. These therapy sessions changed my life because this therapist unknowingly introduced me to one of my absolute favorite hobbies. Focusing on my thoughts and how they influence my behavior, while also trying to change my behavior by introducing new, less destructive ones, was hard. I didn't respond well to any of the suggestions that she had. She did an amazing job coming up with creative ways for me to stop pulling, but nothing would stick. Then she brought beads. Beads. Beautiful, shiny, colorful beads. I was so excited. Together we made bracelets, and she told me that if I ever felt anxious, I should touch the beads. Rub my fingers over them, count them, literally anything, as long as I didn't pull my hair out. I thought this was a good idea, and I tried it. I really did. I still couldn't stop pulling. The therapist would continue to bring her beads to our remaining sessions, and we would make more jewelry. Bracelets, necklaces, and even anklets. I found the process extremely calming. I could fall into a trance while beading, similar to the trance I fall into when I have a pulling episode. Even after the study ended, I found myself beading. I loved creating beautiful jewelry, and it helped that the process calmed me. I would bead for hours, even staying up all night. Beading never made me stop pulling completely, but it did help lessen the urges. Little wins are still wins. I still love beads. I literally just started to embroider shirts with beads, and I did one of my dog's face, which was really, really fun. And so I really always loved the shiny, beautiful, colorful beads, and I still do have those vivid memories of those times. I was also someone who grew up with a lot of crafts in the home. So once I found out that I liked beads and it was helping my pulling, like even in the smallest amount, my mom and dad would have tons and tons of boxes of beads and glass and metal beads and all, you know, any, you go to Michael's, go to the bead aisle. I had those beads. Like I had every single bead. So much so that I even made a little company on Etsy called Handmade by Elena Arden, and I sold my jewelry at my college. I don't even know what it was, kind of like an art fair, but I made tons of money. So it was really cool. And this hobby started for me because I wanted to stop pulling my hair out. So, you know, it's one of those things where, yes, I'm not going to be able to bead all the time. I'm not going to be able to do it and completely stop my hair pulling, but I have fun doing it. I love doing it. I love creating. I love organizing. And I have many, many nights stayed up all night, look over to my window and I'm like, oh, it's sunny now. And I have just made these necklaces for somebody's birthday or just for an event. Like it was just, I had a really good time. And so I do laugh thinking about how I was in the study and the therapist and I would sit down and bead. And that was what was helping me. And hey, if it works, it works. And like I said, little wins are still wins, and I'll take it. Bad for you, good for me. Disclaimer. The names of individuals have been changed to protect their anonymity. When I was younger, I had a best friend who I will call Caitlin. She and I were inseparable in elementary school, and at one point had identical haircuts. We spent as much time together as possible, and it was natural to tell her about my trichotillomania when I was first experiencing it. Also, it was obviously something was wrong because I went from having eyebrows to not having eyebrows quite abruptly. I remember telling her I couldn't help it, and if she saw me pull, maybe she could tell me to stop. She agreed, but we never really spoke of it again. One day, I arrived to Caitlin's house to see her mother absolutely freaking out. I mean, hands flailing, voice high-pitched and squeaking. What happened? Are you okay? Did they just fall out? Is it stress? Typically, those questions were directed at me for my lack of eyebrows, but she wasn't even looking in my direction. She was staring right at Caitlin. As it turned out, Caitlin decided to cut her own bangs and, in the process, cut off chunks of her eyebrows. She looked just like me. I was startled before I learned the cause. Thoughts ran through my head. Did I cause this? Did telling her about what I do make her do this? Does she have trick too? She didn't have trick, just an accident with scissors. I thought, what a good excuse that would be for me. Except, of course, I didn't have bangs. It might sound insensitive, but I was delighted Caitlin messed up while cutting her own bangs. For once, I wasn't the only child with missing sections of eyebrows. Hers grew back eventually, and mine didn't for a while, but that reprieve made me feel a little less odd and a little more normal. This was really funny because I was secretly thrilled. I was so happy to see someone look like me. Now listen to this. I was thrilled after I found out that she had cut her own bangs, and that's what caused it. At first, I was actually freaking out and thinking that I maybe caused her to have trichotillomania, and that would have made me feel horrible and super, super guilty. So after that, I was very, very happy to go to school with somebody who looked like me. Nobody looked like me. I'm sure there had to be somebody else with trichotillomania, maybe not as severe as mine. Maybe they could hide it better because I was out here with big patches of eyebrows missing, no eyebrows at all, hair missing, eyelashes missing. Like, come on, come on. But knowing that my friend was going to come in with some patchy eyebrows, that was pretty funny. If I could, I would. You tell me to stop it in your angriest voice. You tell me to stop it as if I have a choice. Can't you even think of the pain that I feel? My heart is hurting. It's not made of steel. Don't you think if I could stop it, I would? I hate this more than you ever could. I'll pencil it in. I began wearing makeup in middle school. The fact that all the popular girls were wearing it didn't make it any more appealing to me. I had no choice in the matter. I had to wear it. Without eyebrows, I looked like an alien. That much was true. The only way I could attempt to look normal was by wearing eyebrow pencil. My mom was never a person who regularly wore makeup, but she did have some supplies, one of which was a grayish black eyebrow pencil. You might be thinking that choosing a grayish black eyebrow pencil makes no sense, and believe me, I thought the same thing when I saw it for the first time. My hair is brown, I shouted at my mom. Don't use that. But when she used the brown, it looked all wrong. I did have brown hair, but it was extremely dark. To my surprise, this grayish black eyebrow pencil matched more. Now came the hard part, drawing them on. For a while, I would let my mom draw them, but I always thought she was heavy-handed and drew them on too thick. I didn't want to look like I used black Sharpie marker, so eventually I asked her if I could just do it myself. She agreed. I'm sure it was annoying for her to hear my complaints. Drawing on eyebrows is an extremely difficult task. When I first began drawing them on myself, my eyebrows were different sizes, lengths, and thicknesses. I became frustrated, but I didn't give up. I needed to have eyebrows. I just had to get it together. I was eventually able to draw decent enough eyebrows that I was comfortable going to school. Though, as you can imagine, eyebrows drawn on by a 12-year-old probably didn't look great, but I felt great, and that was all that mattered. Did you know HabitAware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. When I mentioned that popular girls were wearing makeup to school, I was talking about lip gloss and eyeliner and mascara. I was not talking about drawing on their eyebrows. I was still the odd person out in this scenario as well. What came from this was, instead of people saying, "Barbara, where are your eyebrows?" it was now, "Barbara, what are your eyebrows?" because I was drawing them on. And either way, I was getting questioned. So it really kind of sucked either way. But at least I tried and I wanted to feel comfortable and confident. I think that even though they looked a bit odd, I remember being happy that something was there, that there was, you know, the idea of an eyebrow where there once wasn't one. Going from a blank face to a face that resembles a face, if you know what I mean. It was really the beginning of when I started to try to hide my trichotillomania. So there are other things that I will discuss later in this book, but the eyebrows are where it all began, that grayish black eyebrow pencil. I remember it being thick. I remember you had to shave the pencil down. It wasn't a plastic applicator that just turned to give you more product. You had to shave it like a pencil. I know that still exists, but times were a little different back then. Bye-bye eyelashes. The first time I ever pulled out my eyelashes, I was in school. At the school I attended, sixth graders came a day early to take their school photos. I took my picture. And afterwards, I went to the bathroom. In the bathroom, I looked at myself in the mirror and swiftly pulled out all of the eyelashes I had on the bottom lash line of both eyes. In one trip. All of those eyelashes, gone. I couldn't stop thinking, what have I done? How am I going to face my classmates? What will everyone say? Will they grow back? My bottom lash lines were red and puffy. It was obvious what I had done. I had no way of reversing what I had done to myself. My stomach turned, I started to sweat, and I was frozen in place. Knowing that I had to leave the bathroom eventually made me feel even sicker. I never wanted to disappear from a situation so badly in my life. I ultimately left the bathroom and was met with my biggest fear, classmates bombarding me with questions. Barbara, where did your eyelashes go? Barbara, what happened to your eyelashes? Oh my God, Barbara, what happened? Why do you have no eyelashes? It was a nightmare. I had nowhere to hide. I could only answer with, I don't know. I don't know what happened. But I did know, of course. Pop. Pop, pop, pop. Out they come. Who knew pulling eyelashes could be so fun? This was the first time I had pulled out my eyelashes. And what we thought of my trichotillomania was that I pulled out my eyebrows. There was no conversation about my trichotillomania moving to other areas of my body. This was devastating and brand new. The eyebrows getting pulled out, growing back in, pulled out, growing back in. We thought, okay, as a family, this is something Barbara does. And, you know, in the summertime, her eyebrows grow back, no school, no stress. Okay, great, we'll deal with this. We'll cover it up when we need to with the eyebrow pencil. But now, I move to my eyelashes. Uh-oh, this isn't good. It's taken a turn. What other areas of my body will my trichotillomania fixate on? We thought it was just eyebrows, and we were mistaken. Eyelashes came next, and after that, Next was my hair. I began pulling out my hair for the first time that same year. My hair pulling began because often I had absolutely no eyelashes at all. No eyebrows and no eyelashes left my hands with only one option, the hair on my head. The place my hands gravitated toward was right in the front, above my forehead. Not an area where a bald spot could be easily hidden. I began to look like I had a receding hairline as a 12-year-old girl. I enjoyed the sound of the hair popping out. I liked to look at the root of the hair. I'd run the hair between my lips. And finally, pull the root off. I liked what I was doing because it felt good to me. Looking in the mirror after I finished a pulling session was devastating. There aren't words to accurately describe how I felt that first moment when I looked in the mirror at my own face. A face with no eyebrows, no eyelashes, and now a bald spot for my scalp. It broke me. This is where things really began to hit the fan, figuratively speaking. It seemed to me and to everyone else that I was completely losing control. The questions coming from my family were scarier because they weren't exaggerations anymore. Is it possible that I will pull out all of my hair? What is wrong with me? Why can't I stop? It can't be. It can't be that bad. 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 Is it really that bad? One of the things that I had to tackle as a child with trichotillomania was the idea that it felt good. When I first started to pull my eyebrows, it felt good. My eyelashes felt good. My scalp felt good. Were there areas on my body that wouldn't? It seemed like any hair that I pulled out felt good. And so, yes, this was me spiraling out of control. That's what we thought. That's what we thought was that I would take the hair from my body and pull it out, all of it. What we thought we could kind of get under control? Nope. All areas, all at once, happening all the time.